for our second reading to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hivite, and the Perizzite. Oh, I'm sorry, I conflated two lines there, beginning back in verse 2. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hivite, and the Perizzite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, Say unto the children of Israel, Ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto them, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and the people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. In the first section, verses 1 through 6, notice that there is no break in the plan. What was the plan when they came out of Egypt? To worship the Lord in this holy mountain and then go into Canaan. the people have sinned a great sin. Moses has stood up as their mediator, and now that that mediation is complete, the plan moves on. There is no break in the plan. The Lord has not lost his stride one whit here. He is using these means to bring them into the land. But then notice that he also continues his chastisement. He tells them to take off anything that would symbolize that they are a people favored at this point, so that they might remember their own wickedness. So they all have to take off their jewelry. Notice that there is a proper place for jewelry here, a proper place for adornment, and there is an improper place for adornment. At this case, they are to take off all of their jewelry as a sign of God's displeasure because of the great sin that they had sinned. There's another sign. And this one is perhaps even more affecting to the people of God. The Lord says, "Do not set my tabernacle, the Ohel Moed," which is the tent of meeting, the tent of communing, "don't set that in the midst of the people. Remove it far away from the camp, because you are a stiff-necked people. And so while I will dwell with you, I will not dwell exactly in your midst because of your stiff-neckedness." Interesting, isn't it? That should be the last thing that we would want to hear from the Lord, that the Lord would somehow withdraw or remove his presence from us because of our stubbornness. And yet this is exactly what we hear. This is the refrain that passes through all of the Song of Solomon. "Do not stir up my love till he please." In other words, make sure that you're not doing something that would cause the beloved to rise and depart from you. That's what Solomon would have us to understand there in those passages. So here, the people have sinned a great sin. They're told to take off their jewelry, their ornaments. That is a sign of God's displeasure. And then God removes his tabernacle out from them. Now we see the genius of the Lord. Because in removing the tabernacle from them a little space, do you see how they longed after it? Because whenever Moses went out to meet the Lord in the Ohel Moed, the tent of communing, that they all got up out of their tent and looked as Moses went. And when the cloud came down upon the door of the tent and Moses stood there, they all watched intently while Moses met with God. You see, the Lord knows how to draw his people to himself. And so as there was that purposed estrangement that had taken place, the Lord used that estrangement as a way to draw his people to himself yet again. So, that tent, remember where it was? What side of the camp was it on? Always on the east. Which way did the door of the tent face? It always faced toward the east. And which way did the tents of the children of Israel face? Always toward the east. So that they would be able to rise up in the morning and to look to that habitation where God had set his name. And they might know that God, although he had for a time removed himself out of their presence, that he did not completely estrange himself from them, manifesting his mercy to them and drawing them to himself, causing them to look after Moses as he went to meet with God. And so that's the first section. Then that second section begins with this conversation between Moses and God in verse 12. It actually starts in verse 11 with that face-to-face typical conversation between God and Moses. Of course, Moses here is seen once again as a type of Christ. There was no other prophet to whom God spoke in that face-to-face manner. And yet when John the Apostle comes and writes his gospel, he says that the Word was with God. Face-to-face with God for all eternity. And so Moses is seen as a type of Christ here, as one who speaks with God face to face, not as a typical prophet. Then Moses has a few things that he wants to get off of his chest with regard to the Lord. And this is really interesting. I think it relates back to what has gone on before. The tent is removed from them. Moses says this. Listen to what he says. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. I think Moses is asking that the Lord would no longer be removed from the people, that he would take up his abode in their midst. Notice what the Lord answers. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and the people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, that is, you and me and all of the people together from all of the other people upon the face of the earth. You see what Moses is asking for? Please, please, God, do not separate yourself from us as a people. Do not be estranged from us, but dwell in the midst of us so that the world might know that you and us, we're together. And all of them, they're not. Isn't that a wondrous and endearing thing that Moses asked for there? I think it is. Should be upon all of our hearts as well. Notice what the Lord says to him, how the Lord replies. The Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Amazing, isn't it? Moses says, separate us unto yourself. Draw up sides here. Let's make teams. God and Israel on one team, and everybody else on the other team. Now, God says, I'll do that. And then Moses says, strike while the iron's hot. Show me your glory. You see, God has been propitious toward him, hasn't he? He has been lovely toward him, hasn't he? He has answered all that he's asked for. Don't leave us. Don't separate from us. Draw us together. And God says, I'll do it because you have known my name. And so Moses says, I may as well strike while the iron's hot. Show me your glory. There's one more thing I want. Show me your glory. Isn't that amazing? Here's a guy that has been up on the mountain with God. Here's a guy that spent 40 days with God. Here's a guy that watched as God wrote 10 commandments on 2 tables of stone. Here's a guy that talked with God face to face while everybody else said, we're afraid. And he still didn't have enough. Show me your glory. Christian, does that describe your heart? It ought to describe all of our hearts. And so the Lord says, if I can put it colloquially, I'll do all you can stand. I'll do all you can take. I'll show you as much of my glory as I can that you won't be destroyed. And so he explains a procedure to him, and you've heard me talk about this before. It's not exactly as it appears to be, because there is something that is glorious about God that is simply not physical at all. God is a spirit. He does not have a body, a manifestation like men. Oh, God will sometimes manifest himself in ways, in thunder and in lightning and in storm and in tempest and in other awful signs. But here he manifests himself in a particular way. He causes his glory to pass before him in words, in propositions. Because truly, that is where the glory of God is. It is not in what he looks like. It's in who he is as he reveals himself. Thus ends the reading of Leviticus chapter 33.